Hello everyone, welcome to The Brick Educator. My name is Jamie, I'm a LEGO education teacher trainer and I'm joined today by a very special guest all the way from Australia. Kieran, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi Jamie, my name is Kieran. I'm the master model builder here at Legoland Australia.
That's so exciting. Kieran, can you just tell me a little bit about what that means? What is a master builder in a Legoland attraction?
My job title is Master Model Builder. There's just one here at the Legoland Discovery Centre in Melbourne, and my job is to maintain and create the new models that you see when you come and visit Legoland Discovery Centre, to educate the kids and the grown-ups that come and talk to me through the window of my workshop here, and also to help to add all of the bricks into the play areas as well to create a cool brick mix that people would like to build and play with.
Wow, so it's like guests are literally coming to play in your Lego toy box if you have complete control over it.
Well, Legoland Discovery Centre is described as the ultimate indoor Lego playground. It really is the ultimate kids' day out. If you're a Lego lover between the ages of, say, 3 and 10, I think you'll have a brilliant time here. I know I certainly would have if I was still a child.
Kieran, what has been your favourite project to work on in the attraction and why?
That's a really hard question because there have been so many. There are a couple that I'm probably really proud of. A couple of times last year and this year, we've hosted competitions to recreate people's pets, life-size, one-to-one scale replica. And we've had really good engagement with those competitions and loads of entries. So we've had a lot to pick from. And last year we recreated someone's dog. And then this year we are about to recreate someone's cat. One-to-one scale out of Lego. The dog that we picked last year was called Joey. He's a two-year-old border collie here in Melbourne, and mm-hmm. He turned out really nice. He has these really nice colors, and then when we got to introduce the real Joey to the Lego Joey, that was really cool and really funny. It's cool to see animals meeting their Lego selves. They find it so strange.
Yeah, and a little behind the scenes, especially we had a similar build in Legoland Windsor. To get the photos correct, they actually ended up putting peanut butter on the Lego model so that it looked like the dog was then kissing the other dog. And that's how that's how they staged some of the shots. So in terms for a life-size build for an animal, for example, I know people, they love seeing huge Lego builds and ones that are actually like one-to-one accuracy. What's your process as a model builder? What do you start with?
The first thing to start off is to get a photo dump from the owner of the pet, if it's mm-hmm. a dog or a cat. Loads of photos of every inch of fur to get all the colors right, and measurements if I can get them for how high different parts of the animal are, and how long and how, just so that we get that one-to-one scale ratio right. Then the next step is a digital model, which enables me to see the thing in 3D and to get all of those patterns and colors right. And then it's a little bit like 3D printing, layer by layer, building up the Lego and gluing it together as you go, mm-hmm. making it hollow to save a little bit of bricks and the weight. And then just finishing it off there. And then once you're finished, take a bunch of photos and hopefully introduce the animal to the real one.
Amazing. And you mentioned that you build it hollow. Is there anything within Legoland Melbourne that requires internal structure, like a metal skeleton or internal bracing? Or is everything a bit on the smaller side so it doesn't require that?
No, we definitely have a few models that we have metal steel bracing inside of. A couple of our Miniland models, because we have skyscrapers in our replica city of Melbourne, a couple of those have a metal inside. We also have life-size scale models of all of the Lego Friends. Mm-hmm. So that's the five mini doll Friends. They are life-size and they have steel skeletons inside. We also have an earthquake table, which is a Duplo table with a shaking base that you can turn on and off, and we have skyscrapers in the middle of that table that have steel bracing as well. And then there's just a couple of ornamental sculptural things that are on the walls and hanging from the ceiling, and all of those need steel bracing inside.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms for your process, kind of what got you into Lego in the first place? Obviously, a lot of people tell me it's like, oh, I just played with Lego as a kid and I just took it from there. But to be an official builder, what did you need to kind of do?
I've always been really into Lego, and I loved building Lego as a small child. I had an older brother, and so I had access to Lego from the age of one or two. And I've always loved building Lego. Then the time that I started to really take it seriously as a career was probably, I was about 6 years old, and I was sitting on the floor of the Retford Library reading a book that I've just found again recently. It's called The Ultimate Lego Book. It's a Dorling Kindersley book. I think it's called The Ultimate Lego Book. And I saw a photo in this book of a lady putting a brick onto this giant statue of Mount Rushmore. And the caption said something like, Lego master builders use special tools to build amazing Lego sculptures. And I thought, there it is. That's the career that I want. And from then on, there was never really a time when I thought about doing anything else. And I used to just tell everyone that I knew that that's what I wanted to do, especially my teachers and my careers counselor and everything. I just said, that's what I wanted to do. And then when it came time to picking subjects and finishing high school, I worked as hard as I could to get into the university course that I wanted to do, which was a double major in architecture and integrated design, which I had read online is the two things that Lego look for and Lego hire for. And that degree made it really helpful in terms of the 3D digital design and the 3D spatial thinking. Mm-hmm. And then once I finished my degree, I moved here to Melbourne from Western Australia. And I began doing a couple of different jobs, which I thought were semi-relevant. I did some carpentry, kids carpentry. I designed and built cubby houses for a little while. Mm-hmm. I also did a bit of teaching, working with incursions, which is where you go into a school rather than an excursion. They call it an excursion in Australia, where you go somewhere from the school. An incursion is where someone comes to a school. So I did a bit of STEM incursion work. And then from there, I was hired at Legoland Discovery Centre Melbourne as guest experience, which is working directly with the children and the parents that come to Legoland and operating the rides and working directly with customer interactions. And then from there, I was recruited as a master model builder.
It's such a unique story as well. The fact that you knew from 6 years old, this is what I want to do. I'm not going to let people tell me not to do it, because I think for a lot of like children watching this and parents, they're like, okay, yeah, my kid wants to be a Lego builder, so does everyone. But the fact that you can just pursue it and you can just go for it 100% and you can be where you are today is amazing. Like your journey, I know you said it's just a typical story, but so many people say, oh yeah, I'd love to build Lego, but then they kind of go, oh, okay, yeah, but I'll get a normal day-to-day job and do it on the side. The fact that you've gone, no, that's my career, that's what I'm going to do.
I think that you're right there. It's not that it's not a typical story. I think it is a typical story. A child decides they want to be a Lego builder. That happens all the time. I think the difference there is that people will tell you can't do it, or people will tell you it's unrealistic, or there's not enough jobs in the field, or whatever. And the difference there is not to listen to those people. My careers counselor, when I was 16, told me it's an unrealistic goal, become an engineer instead. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to work for Lego. So I just didn't listen, or I just persevered in that goal, and I think there's a series of choices that you can make to benefit yourself if you want to seriously want to turn Lego building from a hobby into a career.
Absolutely. And as you said, it's just persevering and then not listening to the negativity and taking on those Lego values of I'm going to play, I'm going to have fun, and that's what I want to do with my life. So I love St. Peter's Primary School, the build that you did for that one, so building the scale replica of that. And I bet the kids were absolutely thrilled when you built that for them.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was a scale model, sort of mini-land scale. So we're talking 1 to 50 scale, using a lot of photos of their admin building. So it was a scale model of a real building, and then walking up to the real building with the scale model is incredible. Mm-hmm. And everyone finds it really cool when it's something they can directly relate to. So I agree with you. I think that it's really inspiring to see an amazing, really complicated model on Instagram, and props to everyone that can do that sort of really complicated Lego building. But there is something about the simplicity of capturing, let's say, a monument out of 20 bricks that it requires really good knowledge of the medium being Lego, mm-hmm. And just nice part usage all around. Like that really gets to me every time when I see someone use a genius Lego brick to do something out of less bricks.
Yeah. And I think for me as well, the smaller the model, for me, the better it is in terms for children, because it allows them to believe that they can do that as well. It's like not everyone has thousands of Lego bricks at home. If you've got a creator box, you can build many of these small buildings, and then it inspires the children to actually do that for themselves and the parents to build with them. Even with Duplo blocks, you can create amazing models out of Duplo, whereas the stigma with Duplo is it's only for toddlers, you can't really do much with it. You have enough time and you have enough Duplo bricks, you can create some really interesting structures. And yes, they may not be as detailed as Rindica as a Lego build, but you're then learning about design and technology, you're learning about stability and architecture, and you can build bridges and towers, you can build all sorts with it. I mean, you guys obviously have the earthquake tables where you're physically teaching them about stability and structure. And do you guys, is it Duplo or Lego you use on them?
We use Duplo.
Yeah, and it's like, again, it's that fact that it's universal, anyone can build it, adults can use Duplo and still get the same learning outcomes from it as children would with like using the same tools. Lego itself, obviously we talked a little bit about Legoland, what we do in our roles, but let's talk about Lego. So in terms for your favorite Lego set, what is it and why?
It's probably, this has a lot to do with childhood nostalgia, but mm-hmm. I think that for me, I really love Harry Potter.
Yep.
It's something that I grew up with, the books. My mum used to go to the midnight launch and get me the new mm-hmm. book. So when Lego started doing Harry Potter sets in 2001, that was a really big deal for me. And I still remember the adverts on TV, English TV, and all of that. And then for Christmas, I was given the first Hogwarts castle.
Wow.
And yeah, and that was a really big deal. That was my favorite present. It stayed together for a while until I needed a brick from right in the middle of it.
Of course, so it had to be that one brick as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so as it always happens, that one brick had to come out, and then slowly but surely it just turned into just a mess of bricks that had to go in a box. Yeah. And then quite recently, I dug all of the pieces out using BrickLink to help me find all of the catalog of pieces, used mm-hmm. the digital instructions from online and rebuilt the thing. And then subsequently have taken all of the 2001, 2002 Harry Potter sets and put them all together because it was designed in a modular way. And yep. It makes a really impressive, really tall, as the advert says, Lego Hogwarts that even a wizard would want.
And what's your views on the new Harry Potter sets? Obviously, you had the classic ones. Do you like the new ones?
I also love them. I really like what they're doing with the new stickers and the new designs. So a lot of the new minifigures have found their way into the old Hogwarts castle. So really excited about what they're doing with Lego Harry Potter, and clearly more to come in 2021.
Yes, I've seen a few rumours. I think we're getting some Lego artist Harry Potter sets as well, which is very exciting.
Awesome.
So in terms for future releases, so I obviously have a long list of sets that I'd love Lego to produce. Are there any particular themes or Lego elements that you want to see Lego create that would either help you convey a theme or help you with a building technique that you really love doing?
I have a couple of ideas for new elements that I'd like to see, but in terms of themes, I'm going to join, I think, a lot of people by saying I'd love for them to revive the Lego castle theme.
Yes, I love
Lego medieval stuff and Lego castles. I also liked the Lego Vikings line back in the day.
It was a short line as well, that one. It wasn't around for long.
Short-lived, so yeah, maybe one or two waves. So I would love to see more Lego castles. I think I'm just a sucker for that kind of Lego.
Yeah, perfect. Me too. I mean, I was a huge fan of Lego Lord of the Rings. I didn't buy many sets when it was out because I just didn't really know Lego at the time. But on reflection, it's like, oh, that's an amazing set. And you see the sets like Helm's Deep and... all, and like my favourite set at the moment that I do actually have is the Unexpected Gathering from the Hobbit set, so the big Bag End set. And if they were to re-release a Lord of the Rings set, but using the actual like, things like Minas Tirith and Tower of Orthanc, and blending the old medieval building style, but then with an actual IP, I think Lego should really look at, bring it back, bring back Lego Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that would be awesome. It's kind of similar to Harry Potter, they did it. And now with the new technology that they have available to them and the new talent and for the new designs and new minifigures, I think they could give it a really good go.
Absolutely. So in terms for using Lego in the classroom, what advice can you give to teachers, to teaching assistants, head teachers to kind of implement using Lego in the classroom as a learning tool?
Yeah, Lego is really fascinating for kids in a way that I think can be utilized in a learning setting. There's a lot of emphasis on STEM and things like that, but I think Lego is kind of universal, where it's a way to engage kids that may not otherwise be engaged. It's also kind of a language that kids understand, maybe even more so than teachers. So if you can get into the mindset of the children and use Lego in a math setting, or use Lego to teach kids about biology and animals and the environment and things like that, then you might be able to tap into the language that kids are using. They love when they're building with Lego, but they don't understand can be translated into the setting when they're at school. So Lego is really universal, and there's infinite ways that you can use Lego when you're teaching to help kids to understand something that they would if they're talking about Lego, but they may not if they're just thinking about something in a broader sense.
Absolutely. And the one thing I learned during my Lego education training is if I tell you something, you might remember 10% of it. If I show you something, you'll remember 20%. If you make something, you build something, you're going to remember that 100% because it's so personal to you and so tactile, and you've made it and you've created something that tool, as we call it, I don't really call Lego a toy, I call it a learning tool. That particular learning tool has helped you develop your knowledge in a way that someone just telling you a fact can never do, because as we said and as you mentioned, it's personal, it's hands-on, and it's something that they can then teach someone else. So if they build a model, yes, they've learned it themselves, but then they can then show their parents, they can show their grandparents, look, this is what I've made, this is what I've learned using this model. And then that learning just continues. And then the parents will like show a picture to their friends, and it just goes on and on and on. And it's like, we see social media channels, it's like, my channel highlights learning themes. So at the moment I'm doing a Lego dinosaur theme, and dinosaurs are a great topic to learn about history and science and geography and what actually happened then. But a lot of people, it's like, if you're not that into dinosaurs, but you love Lego, you then suddenly get an understanding and like appreciation of dinosaurs because of that Lego medium, just like you said. Where do you see Lego going? Because they're working a lot with new brands, and obviously they've announced their Levi's branding, their Adidas branding that they're working with now, IKEA recently. What's next for Lego, do you think?
Yeah, Lego's had a really good year, I think. Just because so many people have less options and are turning to Lego to help with being inside, be in situations where they're stuck and things like that. But also, I think people are just rediscovering that Lego is a really cool thing and one of the it things just in general. We know that it's been toy of the century, but it really carried past that into the 21st century. And now you have other people reaching out for collaborations, and Lego's just permeating itself into kind of popular culture now. So I think it's really the sky's the limit, and just go wherever it is that they want to go. We also see more marketing towards AFOLs. That's adult fans Lego. So you see this year we had the first set which had 18 plus written on it because it was that complicated. And then since then we've seen a dozen more sets that have 18 plus written on the box because it turns out that adults are the ones with all the purchase power, with the disposable income to spend on big Lego sets. So I think that we're going to see a lot more ornamental we're going to see a lot more sculptural Lego sets and things that people would want to have on display in their house. I'd also love to see where Lego goes in terms of play sets, because with the modern technology that kids have access to, it really is, Lego is one swing of the pendulum on the opposite end of, let's say, the iPad. So certainly parents see Lego as the anti screen for children, because children are as engaged with Lego as they would get engrossed in an iPad. So it's going to be interesting to see how Lego taps into that sort of opposition to technology, not necessarily themselves, just as a natural alternative to something else that kids might be interested in. So we'll see where Lego goes, because they've had a couple of ventures into sort of an adjacency to technology with we had Lego Hidden Side, which was an augmented reality theme. But I'm not sure that Lego needs that sort of assimilation with the technology. It can exist separately, and we'll see what happens in the coming years with regard to that.
Yeah, so I completely agree with the technology side. Obviously, you have the robotics Lego sets, and they've been around for a very long time. And then, as you mentioned, the augmented reality sets, it's kind of weaning children off the iPad, but step by step. So it's like, yeah, you're still going to use technology, but the main focus is still the build itself and actually getting hands on. And then you kind of interact with what you've created to continue that play process. It's not just build it and now everything's on the iPad. You still need to interact with the Lego model, rebuild it, add things to it. So, and even things like the new the Super Mario set. Yes, it's technology focused, but you're still needing to build and create it and change it constantly. So
it's integration. It's sort of figuring out how to make those two things meet in a way that is really satisfying. And there's been varying degrees of success, but we'll see whether Lego makes any more forays into that territory, or if they step back and stick with simple play sets and ornamental Lego sets, or if they make more attempts to integrate and to cross-pollinate those two things.
Yeah. So now we talked about favorite Lego sets. One of mine personally is any of the Creator 3-in-1s, because I just think they're just they're just a genius build. It's classic Lego bricks. It's not an IP. So IP, for those that are new to Lego, is the intellectual property. So something like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. It isn't any of them. It's just a Lego set, and it could be like there's a great dinosaur set. One of my favorites is the underwater with the shark, and it also builds a whale and an octopus and a crab, and it's just clever, and it's just the design process that goes behind it. It just allows children to go, okay, yeah, so I've got a big box of Lego, I've built the main instructions and I've built that model, but what can I do next? And I find with IP sets it's very much I've built this, I recognize that, I don't touch it. The Creator, it's very much, okay, I built it, now let's rip it apart and do something new with it. So yeah, so obviously we can see your studio behind. You've got a plethora of Lego bricks. Have you got anything kind of ready to show? Anything that you've been working on recently?
I do. I've got a couple of things sitting here that you might enjoy. Obviously, my job takes me from really small, simple stuff to the big stuff. And the big stuff is often the most impressive. So one thing that I do have here is a child size Lego guitar. This is made up of about 2,000 Lego plates. Plates are the flat bricks. So they're layered this way. So the guitar was built up this way, like this. Mm-hmm. And then glued together as it goes, because this is designed to be in the hands of children. Obviously, it was designed pre-COVID, but it was designed to be in the hands of children. And so it's very robust, but also very satisfying to hold. Yeah. And it's tiled on the top, so it is smooth. There's no studs on this anywhere at all.
Lovely. And is that a personal style not to have studs, or is that a guideline from Lego that you need to follow?
No, that was a design choice that I made because I knew it was going to be in the hands of children. So just making it smooth on all of those top surfaces, mainly because of the way that the plates are stacked. So it was mm-hmm. going to have studs on the top side. And also it's designed to be held. But as we all know, new Lego can be really sharp. So it does have the kind of sharp surfaces, but I've mitigated that with the studs by making it tiled on just on this very top. So you can grip it around the neck and around the bottom and things more easily.
Fantastic. So I know people have different views when it comes to Lego sets, like in that particular style. So like for me, I love seeing studs on Lego because it makes you remember that it is Lego. But obviously, design element wise, when it is for children, you need it smooth, you need it not to be sharp. It's like the latest, like the Lego Ideas piano. Until you open the lid, you wouldn't really know it's Lego until you kind of see inside and see there's a few studs in there. Do you have a personal preference?
Yeah, I think it's really impressive to see something that you don't realize is Lego until you're looking really closely and you see some seams or something. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's a real charm to Lego-ified things and to see something and instantly know it's made out of Lego. So I think that something that's made entirely out of basic bricks, for example, has a real robust toy-like charm about it. So it's really a divisive sort of two schools of thought sort of thing. It's very hard to make something looks like it's entirely different as an object or as a building mm-hmm. and to hide all of that stuff. But showing it off can be really cool as well.
Yeah, I think it's one of the arguments with to sticker or not to sticker. And it's like, why have a massive Lego set and chuck stickers all over it to make it look not like Lego? I know that the Harry Potter line is particularly notorious for that. It's like, we have the Lego brick element that looks like a brick. Why would you then put a sticker over a flat piece to make it look like a brick? But again, I guess it's just designer choice and personal preference.
Right, yeah, that's a complicated one because Harry Potter in particular has some really intricate stickers, and the graphic designers at Lego are really awesome at making those fantastic, magical things that you've seen from the movies and books. Yeah. But me personally, I'm a big fan of printed elements. So whenever you have to apply your own stickers and you don't get it quite right, it's always a bit of a shame. And printed elements, especially in those junior sets, are a really good idea.
I think, I equally love a printed element, especially when you've got a Lego Ideas line and you've paid quite a lot of money for it. You would kind of almost the expectation is to have printed elements. And as you said, if you put that sticker on slightly at an angle, that's it. That's going to drive me crazy every time I look at it. And you've put it on once, even if you unpick it, it's never quite the same. So it was a little bit squished at the end. I saw a great tip in terms of applying stickers is use the brick separator, put the sticker on the end of the separator, and then apply it using the separator itself.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I think it just stops fingerprints. It stops the grease on the sticker, and it just kind of helps.
Fingerprints. When you have that, when you have a clear sticker, you can never get it off the sticker sheet and onto the model without a thumbprint behind it. So that's when the brick separator really comes into its own. We have a product. It's a window cleaner. It's called Windex. If you bit of that onto your Lego element, you get a few seconds to kind of shuffle the sticker around before it sticks. It leaves no residue behind. It's just a little bit of a pro tip, but I'm not exactly sure what you would have in the Northern Hemisphere that might equate. But that's what we use down under for hacking this placement.
Nice. And I saw on your website, obviously, you've got the animal builds that you've done. Have you got any of the animals in the studio today that you could show?
I do. I have a couple. There are a few that I've made and remade. Very recently, we had a live workshop based on a children's book called Colouroos. Mm-hmm. And so we needed kangaroos in different primary colours. So I do have... these are inspired by a another website, but I did a couple of different primary kangaroos. It's simple Lego models like this that are based on very basic bricks and a very small number of bricks that kids can really get inspired by. There's nothing better when you're a child than seeing a Lego model online or in a book or somewhere that you think, I have all the pieces for that, and they might not be all the perfect right colors, but I could do that if I wanted to. It's one of the reasons why all of the builds that I do a different build every week, just for the fun of it. And that started off with Animal Build Tuesday and turned into Travel Tuesday now. And once I reach 40 Travel Tuesdays, I'll move on to something else. But it's one of the reasons why I put free instructions online for every one of those, because it's not just about building something that's really impressive. It's about sharing it and having other people try something new with your designs and build on those themselves.
Fantastic. And where can people find those instructions?
They're all online at kieranjiwa.com.
Fantastic. So just to finish off, Kieran, are there any tips, advice that you kind of got? Obviously, we've talked about just being persistent and just following what you love to kind of get to the position that you are in. But for those that are really interested in Lego building, are kind of maybe on the fence of, is this something I want to do as a career? What advice would you give to those guys, either for children, for adults wanting to start up an actual Lego career, photographers, videographers, what would you suggest to them?
Yeah, that's a question I get all the time. The first bit of advice that I would give people is, yes, it's possible. It is possible. It is doable. Believe in yourself, because it is a thing, and it's something that you can definitely do. I often get children asking me, I want to be a Lego builder. How do I turn that into a job? So the advice that I give to children is work hard in school. Do everything you can to begin a university degree, or when it comes time to choosing your subjects at school, you can pick things that you think would be relevant to Lego, like a design course, or even they call it DT in England, woodworking and things like that. So working with your hands or designing things, being creative. And then and architecture as well. Architecture and design, they work hand in hand, and they're really favorable to working on digital designs and eventually working for or with Lego. And then if you go to university, you can study a graphic design course or a product design course or an integrated design course. And then it's at that point that you realize that Lego is a medium, and that everything is Lego, really. Timber is a version of working with Lego. Plumbing is just water Lego, as they say on on the TV show. It's just water Lego. So Lego is a really good stepping stone or a starting point to realizing that what you love is to create, or what you love is to build things and work with your hands, or to think in that spatial kind of way. So while it doesn't Lego specifically, deciding that you are a creative person and that's what you want to do with yourself is a really good discovery to make, especially if you're as young as 6 or 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And then for adults or for creators, for photographers who want to work with Lego, I think that it's a really good idea to just start. If you're afraid that you have 50 followers online and you don't know how you could get to thousands and you don't think it's possible, I think the best idea is to just start and start sharing it and do what you love. And it's not about thinking about the numbers or how impressive it is. It's about just doing what you love. And if you do what you love, I think that the success will follow as long as you keep that dream alive.
Absolutely. And don't build for other people, build for yourself, and build because you love building. Don't do it to get famous. Don't do it to, obviously you can make a career out of it, but always have in the back of your mind, I'm doing this for me and I'm doing it because I love Lego. And don't be afraid of making mistakes. It's the one thing I say to my teachers, to my students, when we do Lego building is, if you get something wrong, it's fine, because you're going to learn from that mistake and then build on it next time. Kieran, thank you so much for today. It's been really enjoyable, really interesting as well, to kind of hear your journey and where you've come from. And hopefully the children, the adults, the teachers that have watched this video have found it inspirational as well, to kind of go, Lego can be anything you want it to be. Kieran, thank you so much for your time. Thank you everyone for joining us. Join us again next time for another interview and some more learning with Lego tutorials, tips and ideas.